Ask someone what their favorite opera is, and they're likely to respond with Verdi's La Traviata. And if you're a fan of this opera, you'll want to be sure to see Marble City Opera's unique performance of this classic work. Performances are March 16th, 17th, and 18th at 7:30 p.m. and will be given at Historic Westwood on Kingston Pike. And here to talk with me about their production is Artistic Director and Soprano Catherine Frady Marble and Conductor Brian Holman. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
It's great to be here.
Catherine, for those who aren't familiar with the story of La Traviata, what is it about?
La Traviata is about a courtesan in Paris, the most famous one of all, and she's highly sought after. All of the men want to be with her, and she is very young and has risen to success very quickly, but she's never experienced real love. She doesn't have any family. She doesn't have any real friends. Her friends are really there because she can throw these lavish parties based off of the, you know, the men who are providing the money to do so. And she ends up falling in love with this man who comes in and actually cares for her as a person and not just, you know, want to be with her because she's this famous courtesan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's really a beautiful love story with a tragic ending.
Aren't they always?
Typical opera.
I love it, though. And you were singing the role of Violetta, one of the most interesting characters in opera, I think. Who is Violetta?
Violetta is a complicated woman, I think. She's strong, but some of that strength is a wall, is a barrier. She wants to have fun and experience life to the fullest. Yet when she's offered this true love, she contemplates. She's like, is this serious love something that I can have? Is mm-hmm. it, or is it going to be the death of me?
Mm-hmm.
And it ultimately is the death of her, because leaving the Baron and her life in Paris, she gives up the money that would provide the medication mm-hmm. that she actually needs to get better.
Mm-hmm.
She's young, beautiful, complicated. She ends up really becoming very religious and feels like she's been forgiven for, you know, her lifestyle and everything. And she gives money to the poor, and then so she's very generous to people.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like a really wonderful character to play. It's one of my favorites,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Who are some of the other artists in this production?
Brandon Evans is playing Alfredo. If you've seen Our Suites by Kate last year, he was in that production. He is coming in from Florida. He's a really great tenor, and so we're excited to have him here. Austin Kness is in town. He's actually lives in Cleveland, Tennessee, so he's one of our usual suspects in our casting. He's playing Germel, Alfredo's father. And then we have a lot of really great locals. Brandon Gibson playing the doctor, Alexandria Shiner, who's playing Anina, Megan Moore, who's coming in from Kentucky. She's actually playing Flora for us. And then we have two chorus girls, Maria Berry and Ryan Colbert, and Daniel Berry.
Yes.
Our very own Daniel Berry is playing the Baron.
Yes.
And he's great, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Baron should be overbearing and controlling and a little bit scary. And Daniel does a really great job with that character. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Historic Westwood, a beautiful old mansion on Kingston Pike, just about a mile or so from the university. Not your typical opera venue. Tell us about this concept. How is this going to work?
Well, we hope it's going to work. No, it's going to be fabulous. We're using the entire bottom floor of the house. The orchestra will be in the parlor room on to the right. So just as you walk into the house, they will be fixed there.
Okay.
But the rest of the action takes place throughout the house. So the overture starts and audience will be standing around and action starts to happen. Characters will move them into the painting studio mm-hmm. where most of Act One will take place. And then we are moving into the West Parlor on the other side of the house for Act Two, Scene One. And then Flora's party will happen in the dining room and also in the foyer near the stairs. And then we take you back into the painting room for Act Three. So Brian can talk a little bit about this too, but the orchestra, because they're fixed, mm-hmm. he can't always see us and we
right.
can't always see him.
How do you deal with
yeah,
that challenge?
It's not your typical setup in, mm-hmm. you know, in a proscenium stage with a pit and all that. We're doing something very different. So it required a lot of very stringent music rehearsals to make sure all the liberties we were going to take were very calculated.
Uh-huh.
And then we're using monitors. So there's a camera on me. And there's monitors in every room positioned. So
wow.
that's, you know, it's above the audience, but uh-huh. where the singers can see, but it's out of the view of most of the audience.
it's kind of high tech.
Yeah. Like, yeah, and no. So that they can follow me, I can give cues, and mm-hmm. I just hope that they all come in. And the
you
other,
you can't yell at them because they'll be in different rooms.
That's right. Yeah,
so it's great for the singers.
And the challenges are also, you know, since the orchestra's in a room, it's going to be hard to hear. It's already in our tech rehearsal, we found it's a little hard to hear through the other room. So it turns it into this gigantic chamber music experience where everybody really has to listen to each other. Everybody's got to watch. But, you know, it's coming together surprisingly well. You know, I have to say that.
And the acoustics in the house are really great, actually, for singing. So it's going to feel a little bit more like a rock show in terms of sound, you know, because the audience will be very close. Yeah. I mean, they'll be as close to us as we are to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be very fascinating as an actor and an actress to have the audience that close to us. The director, Matthew Haney, has been talking to us a lot about, you know, we can never break character. Mm. We have to always be in the moment.
Yeah.
And that's going to be extremely important. But I think it's going to be a really exciting experience for everyone involved. And we have characters who are going to be narrating the experience.
Oh, okay.
So even though we're singing in Italian, Gastone will come out before Act One and tell the audience what's about to happen from his perspective as well. And then Nina talks about Act Two, Scene One, and Flora talks about Act Two, Scene Two, and the doctor talks about Act Three. So it's going to be a very immersive production and
real life opera.
Yeah, real life opera. I mean, it's like we're everyone's on set and everyone's watching this happen in real time. So,
Brian, the score for this is for a full orchestra.
Yes,
I'm assuming you can't fit a full orchestra in that.
No.
So, what is your orchestration for
this? The orchestra is heavily reduced, so we went ahead and used the reduction that's already been done, and a lot of regional opera companies use reductions, and we've reduced it even further. So, basically, I mean, it's very chamber-like, but it'll produce a lot of noise. We have basically 5 string players, 1 to a part, which makes it a lot more demanding for the string players because they always have to be on. They are the soloistic section. Yeah, very soloistic. And then we have 3 winds because the principal wind solos that Verdi writes for are for flute and oboe and clarinet. So the reduction already had those, but the reduction also called for a second clarinet and bassoons and horns and trumpet and trombone and timpani. So we have those parts covered on piano. So, you know, we have everything covered. But basically, it's a 9-piece ensemble.
Nine-piece.
But already, just the instrumental texture creates a whole greater sense of atmosphere than just having a piano. Even you know, a great pianist can't really capture that.
Did you have to do any arrangements or reorchestrations yourself?
I did. So for our pianist, I had to sort of specify what stuff in the score we needed covered, and you know, annotated a score for her. So, yeah, it took some time. But and she's, our pianist, Christy, is very, very good.
Christy Lee.
Christy Lee.
She's fantastic.
She's fabulous, yeah.
And, you know, she's very experienced in opera. So she, anytime we needed something covered or doubled, she's right on it. So, yeah, it's been a very, very talented group of musicians.
Have you been with Marble City Opera before, Brian?
Well, I mean, I've known James and Catherine for a long time. Mm-hmm. But I had the opportunity and privilege to make my Marble City debut, technically, when Marble City came to New York City, where I reside, last year to do a presentation of Larry Dellinger's chamber opera, Amelia Lost, which was starring Catherine. And I was planning to go to the show. I was all excited to go see her at the National Opera Center. And a couple days before, I get a phone call saying, Brian, do you want to play this opera? And I said, well, let me see it. And it's a handwritten score, very hard to read. But apparently the pianist, we had a blizzard that weekend.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So they weren't able to get up there in the blizzard.
Oh,
yeah.
The travel.
Plane traffic, bus traffic, all that had been, you know, trains, everything had been canceled.
Oh,
so
wow.
Her regularly scheduled pianist was unable to make it into the city. So I
quickly made his, you know, transformation from conductor to pianist and took the piano score and made a lot of it. And we had a couple of rehearsals really fast
and did it. And then actually the performance had to be postponed a couple of days because of the blizzard.
Which gave us a little extra time.
Which gave us some more rehearsal time. But then we put it together and it was a great success. And we were fortunate to be able to repeat that piece in Cleveland just a couple months ago. with Cleveland Opera Theater, their New Works Festival. And that was the chamber orchestra version of Amelia Lost. It was
so Brian was conducting.
Yeah. I conducted
okay.
it, yeah.
It's good to have friends
and
pianists at
that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, Catherine, we talked about the immersive nature of your concept for this production. So essentially, audience members are party guests, active participants in the story. So how are they going to know what to do?
Well, we're putting together some plans in order to help the audience know what they are going to be doing. As I mentioned, there are chorus members and there are characters, Flora and Anina, who are going to actually be helping guide the audience at moments. So when we start the overture and everyone's in the foyer and they see Violetta come down the stairs and greet the Baron and we'll be greeting the audience members as they're there, there will be a moment where Flora's like, okay, it's time to go. Mm-hmm. You know, and although we're singing in Italian, we speak English. Like good Italians, we also speak English. we sometimes speak in French, and you know it takes place in Paris, but we sing in Italian and we speak English. So
makes sense.
So you know there will be a little bit of suspense of belief there and that, but yes, there'll be characters who are kind of guiding them through that, and the director will be there as well to kind of help facilitate that. The audience will be given masks and get to participate in the masked party at Flora's house after intermission, which will be a lot of fun too.
Yeah. So,
and the audience, the main thing for them to know is that there will be seats, and there will be standing room, and there'll be a kind of a combination. So wear comfortable shoes. And when the singers start to move, you can follow.
Mm-hmm.
You know that there's a sense in the way that we've staged it that when they move out of the room, you can go. Just follow them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to move out of the room and then come back, basically.
Right. About how many people are you going to be able to accept? How many audience members?
I'm stopping online tickets at 40.
Very intimate. Yeah.
Very, very intimate. We suspect that we'll have a few walk-ups, you know, as well. I don't think I can have more than 50 per performance.
Well, Catherine and Brian, thanks so much for stopping by. This sounds like a fantastic once-in-a-lifetime performance.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for having us.
Catherine Frady Marvel, Artistic Director of Marble City Opera, and conductor Brian Holman speaking to me about their production of Verdi's La Traviata. Once again, performances are March 16th, 17th, and 18th at 7:30 p.m. and are given in historic Westwood, located at 3425 Kingston Pike in Knoxville. Tickets and more information about this event is available online at marblecityopera.com or on their Facebook page.